Let's say why there are two persons here. So basically, me and Andrew Butler discussed about these things on the IRC channel, as Volker said, for I think a year, and we constantly disagreed about the ties. So I thought it was a good idea to let you know both the views on this issue. Okay. Another thing is that one of the motivations that drove me to look at the Samba code initially was that I was very curious and wanted to know how it worked internally. And one of the first questions I asked on the technical list was, is there any scheme how Samba is architectured? The answer was, no, look at the code. Well, except that we made some pretty slides that you can see. So, basically, what the thing that we are talking about is user management, really, and EDMAP is a subset of this problem. So, how was user management in Samba 2.0? But pretty simple, as you can see. There was simply an SMBD process. User password for encrypted password was stored in a file called SMB passwordD, and all users had to be stored in the POSIX system, underlying POSIX system, and retrieved by the normal NS switch calls. That evolved in Samba 2.2. We had multiple password databases. After 2.2.2, we had one WinBind that enabled us to have users from a PDC. We still steer the Unix name and the UID in the databases, and the architecture is a bit more complex now. As you see, we have a direct connection between SMBD and the modules. In fact, currently, you need to recompile Samba to change the database. But otherwise, it is very nice to have, for example, WinBind that provides users through the POSIX interface.
And likewise, we with our multiple databases, we allowed people who had a NIST Plus server or a little later on the LDAP server, an experimental TDB database, allowed people to put the passwords into things often closer to where their other data was, or a bit more flexibility. And it was a boon in 2.2 to admins to be able to have, particularly LDAP SAM, was my interest. However, things got a little more complex as we went to 3.0.
Yes. As you can see, the structure is more complicated. We have a PassDB module interface that holds loadable modules, so you will have not to recompile the whole Samba source code to have different to change modules. We have also tools to switch the user from one database to another to port them. We have more backends like the XML that is simply can be seen as a backup database, for example, not to be used on a regular basis. The TDB SAM that I contributed to made, it was one of my first contribution that is also in 2.2, but is more stable. The LDAP, it's very fundamental. The MySQL, for example, as John has just described it. We have still WinBind that talk with PDC, but not only, it talks also to other PDC to support trust. And the Samba code for 3.0 will also support trust in both ways, in both directions.
But the idea is that in Samba 3 that we will use WinBind to support trust when not only we're a file server, but we're actually the PDC, which is a slightly more complex problem because of the changes and the assumptions that we make that currently when we're a PDC. The idea is we'll use WinBind to attach to all these other domains, be clients of them, but servers of us. And some interesting things come from there, and that's what our WinBind PDB thing is about. It's about ensuring that we pass the right information in the right places, so we don't get ourselves in loops. This gets rather complex because these systems, a lot of them are in loops, and our X that we have between SMBD and GetPWNAM is a long-term hope that we can try and remove the nexus between Samba and the underlying NSSwitch system, because otherwise it starts calling itself again and we just get lockups.
Yes. That's required to have a Samba system that rely only on its databases and not on the underlying Unix system. The Unix system will be happy because to WinBind and this module that is not yet completely implemented, it can provide users also to the Unix system. But the alternative source will be the SMBD database. So and that's a very good thing for a PDC, for example, because that way you don't have to manage two different user databases, the Unix one and the Windows one, but you have only a single point of administration.
And the particular link between these two worlds is the ID map. It's something WinBind has done a while for other areas, is making UIDs and GIDs out of these collections of users in an NT domain. It just happens this NT domain is the one we're sitting on. Before we go a bit further, we probably should describe what a SAM is, what the user database for NT actually entails. It's a lot more than you fit in a password record in your flat file at etc password. It's a lot more like a full corporate LDAP directory. It's why it fits fairly well with having a PDB LDAP as one of the back ends. The details of a user's full name, their description, the SID is an interesting detail because each domain has about a four lump prefix and then a single 32-bit number that represents all things within that domain. It's got to be unique, and we've got to make sure that every user, group, and everything, and anything else that happens to have an account has a unique SID. User passwords are another game that started this whole thing in one sense, in that you've got to have your NT and your LM types of password. If we had, if we never needed that, we would never have started on the SMB password game in the first place back in 2.0. The home directories, profiles and things, Samba has historically used things like the smb.conf file to fill in magic values for this based on %u and %m and the like. But these are real values that in some cases people want to set to specific things for particular users. So Samba has to allow that. Likewise, we've got a lot of account restrictions that NT can perform. The log on, which time of the day and night you're allowed to log into the network. These are one that we're looking at implementing with the SAM sort of copes of the idea but doesn't yet use it. We already have implemented the storage and the actual checking of which machines you're allowed to log in from, the account expiry, the must change time for when you must change your password every 3 weeks. For the minimum password age, the fact you can't change it 5 times in a row and get over your password history. We don't yet have the history, but we have the support for the minimum age. Other things are stored in the SAM, like if you're doing remote access, where you dial in with a modem, you can have the remote access callback number stored in the SAM so that your remote access server can check you're coming from the right place. Trusted machine accounts are in the SAM. Every machine that's in your domain is actually a user in your SAM. Likewise, every domain that trusts you has an account in your SAM, which they use to exchange the credential information. It's a complex beast, and it's not something we can particularly fake up, so we've got to do it properly.
Okay. So how is our PassDB? Currently, we have a PassDB, and we will discuss after this our ideal SAM. Our PassDB in 3.0 has loadable modules, and that's a very good thing. It makes not only things easier when testing, but also when migrating. For example, from an old ancient SMB PassDB to a new LDAP or TDB SAM.
It's just a matter of a single command.
Exactly.
It's been the work there of a number of people in the team has really made working with these PassDBs a lot more sane.
But we have also some problems. We have weak group support, as someone noticed. We have no privileges support. Privileges are basically a local server thing, but would have allowed things like simple printer admin implementation, domain admin implementation with privilege for specific operations. This will be, I think, addressed at post 3.0.
Yes.
And then arbitrary read support.
This is one of the most important features of the SAMBA 3 PassDB over SAMBA 2.2. We managed to clutch just enough code out of the way to be able to support having a user having an arbitrary read. That is, a read that is not tied to being their UID times 2 plus 1,000. Because if you're migrating your server from Windows NT, as we've attempted to see demonstrations of earlier, you can't somehow change the reads along the way. A pile of things break badly. So instead we need to store the read that Windows NT had given the user in our database. It's not very well done, but it was done fast, and it allowed these migration things to occur for a number of months, and we've been able to test surrounding tools in the meantime before we go back to solve the problem properly, which is the IDMAP we'll still be getting to a little later.
Yes. Describing some of the PassDBs, we have the ancient SMB PassDB that stores basically only passwords, so not anything of the thing we described in the ideal SAM. Then there is TDB SAM. I was one of the authors of this module. What it gives is all the information you need in SAM, but also it is easy to set up because it is completely internal to SAMBA and easy to backup through TDB dump or eventually with a PDBA passing all information to an XML database backend, for example. It has not all the good things of LDAP, but has the good thing that you don't need to understand LDAP to use it. That is a very pain for some administrators.
Yes, as I've found out, implementing an LDAP backend, LDAP can be a bastard at times. LDAP SAMLO is the backend for large corporate networks because there is information beyond the limited attributes in the SAM. People want to store, a lot of the things we mentioned. Someone earlier mentioned mail routing as a thing for LDAP, matching with your existing Unix systems. Lots and lots of information can be thrown into an LDAP directory. It is, therefore, is useful to be able to attach the SAMBA information onto that record as we go along the way. That's how most big PDCs have been implemented, particularly because you can then use NSS LDAP to get the user database in the same place. And the other big thing about LDAP is replication. LDAP replication is a known quantity. It's external to something that we have to develop. And as such, it's allowed a number of sites to do some interesting things with BDCs that are quite a long distance away and have just used LDAP replication to get between them. But it can be really hard to set up. There's not spectacular amounts of documentation. We need to fix a fair bit of that. I've come across a number of things in setting up my own site that I wish I'd better read documentation on. But it's certainly one of the core backends that we're going to have for a long time yet.
So where is actually the problem? The problem is that Windows uses security IDs, the so-called SIDs, and not UID or GIDs. A SID can identify not only users or groups, but just anything. Any object in Windows can have a SID. So a SID, for example, specified world access to files, for example, a local system, a domain, or, for example, things like all authenticated users, and just anything you can think of. We have to map these SIDs to Unix or groups, user or groups. Another thing is that Windows have a unified case-sensitive namespace, so that you can't have the same group and the same username. If you try to put the same group name, same as a username, Windows will simply forbid you to do so. Instead, in Unix, we have separate spaces, and we have to find a way to cope and not have them collide.
We've come across one of the more fundamental instances of this, was simply the standard user private group that you have on a Unix system, where you have your username as your primary group name. Just getting around that one has been enough of a challenge. I think we just try and hide it and pretend it doesn't exist. But we need proper solutions to these problems rather than kludges.
Another big problem is that groups can contain other groups and T machines. And T4 had domain groups being possible to be put on local groups, but Windows 2000 also have domain universal groups that can contain other groups. These are the things that the POSIX interface cannot do. Groups can have only users inside the group, and that's the thing that we have to address.
The final point is that POSIX groups can contain only users. We're fortunate that the domain group concept matches relatively closely to POSIX groups, which might allow us to get out of one of these holes relatively intact, but the rest of them really do get nasty. And in the end, we basically have to support them. This is just to try and sort of put a bit of a graphical spin on the point about the namespaces. On POSIX, we do have that nice separation. That should say group names on the second one. So we have our user names, UIDs,
group names,
the GIDs. But on the Windows system, everything, its numeric representation is the SID, and your user and group names are all tied in that. NetBIOS imposes further restrictions on workstation names. It can get messy when you have the same workstation name as a username. But everything all maps down into SIDs, and this can create problems.
So how can be an ideal SAM? An ideal SAM does not understand anything of UID or GIDs. It only knows of SIDs. It has a unified client-side-sensitive namespace. It never checks Unix users because it does not know anything of Unix users. It trusts the IDMAP system that it will do the good job of mapping properly the SIDs and the UIDs, and possibly provide users back to the Unix system through the WinBind. It was a WinBind PDB thing that we showed before, so that you can have a central point of administration for your users, passwords, and everything.
The other problem with IDMAP is that there's not just our SAM to deal with and our users. There's an infinite number of SIDs that are possible to create. They can come from other domains that we know about, trusted domains. They can also come from a user's workstation. One of the nastier cases is that a user copies, say, their program files directory to the server as a backup. They're going to do some things, they want to restore it. We've got to convert it. When we go to the server, we have to convert the SIDs, which we don't even know if they're users or groups, into something that we can represent on our POSIX file system on the server. It'll represent the ACL as well, which gets even worse. We then have to pull it back and create the same NT SID when they go and read it and try and copy it back to their workstation. This happens more often than you might expect. We also just get, the SID could come from anywhere. It could be on a NTFS floppy, not meant to exist but can. They've come in from a completely different organisation. So it's not possible to know the limit of SIDs that you're getting, but you've got to map them into UIDs and GIDs. And worse still, you've only got a limited number of UIDs and GIDs you can map them to, typically 2 to the 32 of both. This creates a number of exhaustion problems at CMOS about 2.
Yeah, we have, not only 2 at the 32, but even less on other systems, like 2 at the 16.
Yes.
And also other problems like the fact that we may not know if it's a user or a group. So basically what we do now is map to a user, but we can change our minds. Some have predicted that it would be better to map them to a group. So this is an open problem, yes.
The idea of IDMAP is to ensure that we have one mapping between the UID and the GID and that it stays that way, because there's nothing worse than that mapping changing over time. Suddenly files get new owners, and that we need to create it dynamically. And we need to make it consistently.
Yes, one of the problems when you look at the ID map is not the local problems. They are okay, the problem of mapping the seed to the current thing. But the worst problem was when you have a big organization and you share files not only through SIFS but also to other means like NFS. This case,
it's tape backup between hosts and it gets weird.
Any other means. The problem is that if you use IDMAP disconnected from any other server, and IDMAP just randomly allocate UIDs because we get rid of the algorithm mapping, you end up having different UIDs or GIDs for the same users or groups along your organization. So what you need is a central IDMAP server that do the mapping for all the server and replicate the information in the local place to have all consistent. Yes, just another thing. The central server handles all the mappings, and it is a permanent cache anywhere. Also, the peripheral server will have a permanent cache. They will ask for the same mapping only one time over the cache lifetime. So why I speak about a cache? Because, in effect, the administration could potentially change it, but it is not at all recommended. One thing that make an administration choose to change the mapping may be UAD and GAD exhaustion. As we said, you can have only a limited number of UIDs, while seeds have a really bigger space. And if you have a big organization, you can have multiple deletion of users and groups and can run out of UIDs or GIDs. But changing the mapping can be a security issue, because if you delete a user and delete the mapping, a user can get back a previously used UID and potentially have access to files that are not owned by him, but were owned by the previous users. So we will implement a mechanism to pull down the change to the peripheral servers, but it will be driven only by an administrator choice. It will not be automatic, because the administrator must understand the security issues and decide, yes, I want to do this thing.
Finally, just a brief look at some of the things that we've been doing over the last 6 months, some of the discussions, the different ways we tried to move forward. We've had about three different sort of systems. The PassDB, that is sort of where we're going at the moment, which has just been a slow evolution problem. But about 6 months ago, a number of people, Yelmo, Metzi, and a few others, got together, particularly on the SAM Technical Channel, and we tried to design the ideal SAM. We spent a lot of time going back and forth, trying to match something that matched what Microsoft did as much as possible, providing interfaces and things. And we got up to a stage where we sketched out most of the interfaces and how it would work together. We never really got too far in actually getting the code written before a lot of us ran out of time, back to uni, back to school. Similar at the same time, felt that some of the things we were doing were a bit of duplication between parts and things, and started a sort of a GUMS effort. Was group and user mapping systems?
Yes. Management or management?
Management system. Which ended up looking very similar.
Yes.
The two approaches, we've basically got a common agreement as to where we're going forward. Simo managed to combine some things together so we wouldn't have quite such a plethora of functions, but act on objects that were different only in the things they were different in, but only had one way to set a SID rather than five functions, depending on what you happen to be doing it on.
Basically, the difference was that they were concentrated on the functionality, while I wasn't concentrated also in making it work with IDMAP, for example, that they already thought was one of the necessary parts, and with the object-oriented way to do it. Because I thought that we could need extensions as we need in the past, because the Semibios with this was really too ancient and bloated. PassDB was a good implementation, but had no possibilities to improve, really. So we made these two different implementations to also be able to look at what each the two teams made and to look at what was good in each implementation. And
I think a lot of what was good in both of them is slowly making its way into PassDB, into where we're going into the future. We've got a bit of an idea, a bit of a sketch out of some of the things that can and can't be done. We also went down a few dead paths. We had some nice ideas about multiple domains at the same time, and interesting ideas around there, but most of them sort of got pushed around a bit, probably dead. Also, some interesting discussions over whether it was possible or sensible, was more to the point, to have multiple backends available at the same time, whether you could have a database in LDAP plus an SMB password file to add to it, or two MySQL databases that were combined to produce your SAM. The code was sort of basically decided to be removed, but we're still using it for some things, not where we have a real database, as a second one, but for providing the fact that a guest account must always exist, otherwise NT does some weird things. So we're looking into how those issues should be resolved, the balance between the admin complexity and basically the admin's ability to shoot themselves in the foot with creating what are more developer configurations and allowing some interesting experimentation into this area.
Yeah, so what we wanted was the perfect term. Of course, we didn't get it. The perfect AD map, it is impossible to do. Possibly WinBin and PDC, that we will try to do.
Yeah.
But the outcome is a system that is good enough and stumbles is zero out. What will be in 3.0 about these things? It will be AD map, probably. Possibly improve past DB group support, if we can do it, or SMB improve the SMB group edit, and WinBind on PDC, of course.
Yes, with John over here having promised us promised the world WinBind on PDC, I think we shall have to implement it.
Yeah.
Questions? This is rather a complex and technical area, but I do hope some people have managed to stay awake enough to have a question or two.
Some of the SID architecture reminds me of the SE Linux sort of capabilities-based security that sounds like it's going into the 2.5 series of the kernel. Have you looked at that? Have you, as a possible means of implementing the SID backend, have you not looked at it? If you have, did you decide for or against it, or just isn't there yet, or what?
Of course, the best idea is to put the SID thing into the kernel, so that we don't have any problem. The fact is that Samba does not run on Linux, and that it is really difficult to push this kind of things on a Linux kernel. We can't deliver a customized Linux kernel to run Samba on it. So we need any way to cope with system cannot do that thing. It would be a good idea for example, a NAS vendor to produce its own kernel with its own modification.
The question is, where will the ID map code will belong to? It will be placed in WinBind code or binary, WinBind or SMBD. How do you want to solve it?
It will be used by both, but it can be seen as a separate thing. It is not a daemon. It's just a path of code and a TDB storage.
Any further questions? The question was, how do both implementations communicate?
Well, this is an issue. One of the methods is through LDAP, if it is available. Other experimentations have been made through RPCs, so that you could potentially put the master on a Windows NT PDC. But that revealed to be one of the ways. We're not sure if it will be the best way or the... if it will be ready for 3.0. Basically, if you have multiple servers, you are going to use LDAP. So probably LDAP backend for for IDMAP will be used.
So I think the essence of this talk is building a good PDC, and we are approaching to be a good PDC is really hard on Unix, especially when you have trust relationships and all that stuff going on. And what I would like to have fixed this week, especially tomorrow, what of this do we need, and what compromises can we have to get 3.0 out? And there's John.
I'd like to ask the audience a question here, if you don't mind, Simo and Andrew. Could I have a show of hands of who has a network with fewer than 50 clients that they would be looking to migrate? Less than 50? Okay, what about 50 to 250 clients? Okay. What about more than 250 clients on the network?
That's a lot.
Okay, last question. How many of you want to be able to make that migration without having to tie any of your users and groups to specific Unix or Linux users and groups?
What you mean is, do the Unix and groups and users matters to you? Will you provide only Windows services, or do your users use also the Unix machine directly in some way?
Can we have a show of hands again? Those who do not want to connect your Windows users to Unix users and groups. No. No.
I think the more important question here, I mean, we can provide the Windows users and groups to Unix. We end up having to do that anyway. More important question, though, is those with split infrastructures where you already have the Windows users, the Unix users, and you're trying to make them meld them both together. That, I think, is going to be the more interesting problem as to how to get groups that are slightly different in both but may have the same name and things like that. Is that a big problem in our user base? With sort of separate directories at the moment, you're trying to make the same one, and so different ideas of who's in groups.
Raise your hands if that's a problem for a user.
A few people. Okay.
Okay. Did you get that?
Rephrase
the question, please. Slowly.
Well, one of the problems is that you generally have a Unix database for users and a SAM database, okay? Many users think that they still want to keep them separate because they have different uses. But some users think that they can live with only the SAM database and have the users provide that also to the Unix processes. How many are appealed by this second possibility, and how many think that they want to keep them separate? So the question is, how many are appealed by a unified database that provides users back to the Unix system?
Good.
Okay. That's better.
Well, what I would like to say is that now that the directory technology is here, LDAP in this case, I think this question is irrelevant in the sense that you just have separate trees for these different kinds of user bases, and you just pick the one which is appropriate for each case, or you have only one tree for both of systems and you can still have all the management in your hands.
Yes, the problem with LDAP is particularly with groups, and the fact that the Windows can handle groups in groups, and LDAP cannot with POSIX account. Okay, so we're trying to understand if this is important. We think that this is important because groups are widely used. So in fact, you will have an LDAP backend, but actually we will use WinBind into PAM and an asset switch instead of LDAP directly. WinBind will be a tunnel to LDAP to let us fake up this group membership.
The other option we'll provide is for sites that don't want their groups in groups, we can then ensure that we actually match the original POSIX way of doing things so that you can choose sort of which of your world views to take and which set of compromises to work with.
So I think we will not solve these problems here. There's lots of room for discussion for tomorrow. I'd like to thank Andrew and Simo for preparing this talk. And yeah. Now we'll have another last break. After that, we are going to have a presentation on what the other Samba is currently doing. As many of you probably know, some years ago, I'm not sure how many years ago, one or two or three. Oh, we will know in half an hour or so. There was a split on development. A group called Samba TNG, the next generation, has formed, and we would like to know what they are currently doing. After that, we are going to have a little panel discussion here, another forum for open questions. So I hope we can have your stay here, and before that, enjoy your coffee.